Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, November 22nd, 2013. And today I ask you the question, where were you on November 22nd, 1963? If you were alive then, where were you when you first got the news that President John F. Kennedy had been shot and later heard that he had died from his wounds? It was one of those seminal moments in American history, like Pearl Harbor and like 9/11, I remember the day quite well. I was at a high school track meet. The meet was canceled, school was dismissed, and we were all sent home. I was 15 years old at the time, a little too young to fully understand the event's meaning and its historical significance and President Kennedy's role in all of it. Remember, there was TV and radio, but only three channels of TV and no computers and therefore no internet. It was much later in my life that I came to understand more about what the president stood for and how those stands that he took coincided with what I have come to believe later in my life by a very large cross-section of Americans. President Kennedy was admired and respected, and in many ways still is today. He is probably most remembered for his handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis, in which he was vilified by many people for his back-channel negotiations with Khrushchev to bring the crisis to an end. To the average American, however, his action represented an example of peace through strength. He held office at a time when the Soviet Union was testing American resolve at every opportunity, and nuclear war was a real possibility. Everyone had fallout shelters. We were all shown how to put blankets over the windows to prevent flying glass and so forth. He managed to avoid that, to avoid war, and come out of it with something both sides could live with. The Bay of Pigs fiasco was developing at the end of the Eisenhower administration, when the general was starting to lose his battle with the CIA and the military-industrial complex. He defeated Nazi Germany, but he could not defeat our own CIA and its friends in the military complex. He had committed the U.S. to the operation, and Kennedy agreed to continue it, but said he would not send American troops if it failed, and he did not. So the CIA and the Pentagon fought their battle against three presidents, Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy, before finally prevailing for all time, it seems. Presidents after Kennedy apparently got the message loud and clear. Was President Kennedy a conservative before the neocons captured that title? Let me quote a couple of passages from an article in American Thinker. First, from his Berlin speech in 1963, quote, "There are many people in the world who really don't understand, or say they don't, what is the great issue between the free world and the communist world. Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future. Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say in Europe and elsewhere we can work with the communists. Let them come to Berlin. There are even a few who say that it is true that communism is an evil system, but it permits us to make economic progress. Let them come to Berlin. Freedom has many difficulties, and democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to put up a wall to keep our people in." That is from President Kennedy's speech in Berlin. Second, from his economic speech, in which he is pretty much the opposite of what so many things that have been done in our economy today that have ruined it, President Kennedy stood out as the opposite, quoting, "The reason the government is in deficit, because you've got more than 4 million people unemployed, and because the last 5 years you've had rather a sluggish growth. I am in favor of a tax cut because I'm concerned that we are going to have an increase in unemployment and that we may move into a period of economic downturn. I think this tax cut can give the stimulus to our economy over the next 2 or 3 years. I think it will provide for greater national wealth. I think it is the best economic interest of this country, unless this country just wants to drag along, have 5 or 6 million people unemployed, have profits reduced, not have economic prospects, and have our budget unbalanced by a much larger proportion." That is John Kennedy's economic theories. Despite his faults, i.e., he was a sexual libertine in the Clinton tradition, the Clinton style, should he be admired and respected by conservatives today? I think so, folks. That's the way I see it, at least. Friday, November 22nd, 2013. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.